Welcome to the Real Triathlon Podcast. I'm your host, Garrick Lowen, here with Nicholas Chase and Jackson Lund.
Welcome back to the Real Triathlon Podcast. We got the boys here in town. Not in town. We're all in separate towns. Actually, Jackson, another country. But we're all back together. We're going to catch up, do a little bit of a catch-up episode. If you guys are watching on YouTube, Nick is part of RTS. I know he just has a hat and a t-shirt, but he is, in fact, like the biggest part of RTS.
I have the hat, the shirt, the background. I've got my bracelet. I've got the body tattoo, and I've got the chamois cream on.
What does RTS chamois cream entail?
I didn't think that was chamois cream. I thought that was just lubrication.
I've bottled it up and I've branded it, and I don't know what it is. I'm not going to tell anybody, but it's really good. It's hypoallergenic. It's antimicrobial, and it'll do you real good.
Garrick, I'll tell you what, this
part. Garrick, did you lose about 30 pounds?
Close. I lost. I'm about 185, 186 now. Garrick, I look skinny?
Your face looks like she's hit the suction.
Yeah. I took everything from that fueling episode to heart, and I lost all this weight in about 1 week. So,
well, I heard that you listen to a podcast with David Goggins.
Is he still a thing?
Well, when we were in Mexico, Dad was listening to
No, you have to set up the story properly. So in Mexico, Jack and I had spent an extended period of time figuring out like why I can't lose weight. And Brian was there and he was like, you know, helping, talking to me. And then we all sit down to eat in Jack's room, and he's listening to the Huberman podcast and David Goggins on it. And Huberman's like, I have this friend and he can't lose weight. What would you tell him? He's like, well, first I would, and then David Goggins is like, first I would tell him he's a piece of shit.
For real?
I don't know what I told him. Shit.
Yeah. So Brian looks at me and he goes, you piece of shit.
Jeez. Goggins is next level invasive of your ego. Like, he'll just make you feel like nothing.
There's a time and a place for David Goggins, but you see some of these guys that are like in triathlon and like they're like David Goggins focused, and like, I wake up at 3:30 every morning and I'm a full-time age group triathlete. Like, I don't have a job and all I do, and like, oh yeah, training fucking 12 hours a day and like just doing like stupid shit. And it's like, dude, you're going to burn out. Like, you can't always be David Goggins. David Goggins is for the last hour of an Ironman.
The only guy who can always be David Goggins is David Goggins.
Yeah, I think you said that perfectly, both of you. Like, when I see that fella, it stresses me out. Like, just like watching him speak, I'm like, I have hypertension. Thank you. And normally I've got things under control. And just by the way, I'm selling these RTS hats that have built-in AirPod Maxes for $1,000.
Would that even cover the cost for the AirPod Maxes?
Yeah. It's not like they're Google AirPod Apple glasses or anything like that.
You guys want to hear something crazy? I'm switching over my internet and phone because Rogers has just been effing me hard. I've been like, why am I paying $270 a month for shitty internet and shitty coverage on my cell phone? This is BS. So then I call Bell and I'm like, hey guys, Bell is the other company. There's basically two in Canada, Rogers and Bell.
There's literally two companies, yeah.
I'm like, all right, Bell, I'm with Rogers for my whole life and I'm thinking about changing over. And they're like, all right, we'll give you a deal. And then he's like, okay, what do you want? And he's like, okay, I'll lay out an option for you. Tell me what you think. And I'm like, all right, well, he's going to freaking lay out the like high-end everything option, most expensive everything. And I'm probably going to have to say no, because it's going to be way too much. He's like, all right, we'll set up a home security system for you with two cameras, entry point coverages, fire alarm, everything you need there. Then we're going to set up with the best fiber optic internet, perfect for as many people as you need, gaming, everything will be fine, and unlimited North America-wide phone, everything. It's going to be perfect. I'm like, all right, it's going to be like $1,000. He's like, $160 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
He's like, we hacked into your bills and we know how much you paid, so we're going to offer you just enough to make it worth it.
It's literally like 60% of the amount of Rogers, including a home security system. No, they waived all setup fees or anything.
Okay, crazy. Wait.
Oh, and the first 3 months, I get like $35 a month off.
Wait, what happens after 2 years when they?
After 2 years, they increase it by $10 a month.
Okay, that's still not bad. That's not bad at all.
It's crazy. So anyways, one of these jobs I've been putting off for like years, and I probably could have saved thousands of dollars, but hey, what can you do?
It's like, how many things in life could we be doing that with? Like with Hulu, YouTube, Netflix.
Oh, yeah, and they threw in those subscriptions for Fibe TV. Is that a thing? Yeah, Fibe TV. So.
Wow. Dude, that's basically what I pay a month just to watch the Leafs play, because I need Hulu with ESPN Plus, but then on the Saturday games, I need the NHL Network, which means I need cable, and then I need to add the NHL Network onto that.
Dude. No. Like, every time I look at Hulu, they're like, we're raising our prices to another $5 a month. I'm like, it's already $95 a month, and you still throw commercials at me.
Yeah. So Jack, yeah, the Leafs are currently up 5-0 on the Oilers, so that game will go to overtime.
Wait, but how many goals does Matthews have?
Oh, I didn't check. The notification just came across my phone. But yes, Nick, Hulu, the price keeps going up. I know.
Well, the only reason I have Hulu premium is so I can watch Formula One. That's it.
Oh yeah. We need that. We need the ESPN or the whatever for Morgan too. She watches Formula One. She's in a freaking Formula One fantasy league, and she's so good at it.
Please send me the link. I want to join. Look, I have a race chat. Jim, I do this.
That just looks like
it's not on.
Stop doing
it. You're just trying to do it. You're just trying to do it.
I tried to recreate the filter IRL.
Yeah. Anyways, boys, so what has everyone been up to? Jack, you've been doing some aero testing at the Velodrome. Fill us in on that.
Yes. So you'll have to watch my YouTube that'll be out in 1 to 7 weeks and get the real details. But tested a couple things out. Helmets. Mostly helmets. A lot of helmets. I even got my hands on that Specialized helmet because the Velodrome or the like track cyclists can't use it anymore. So the mechanic guy for Cycling Canada was there, and I was like, well, if you guys can't use them, can I just try one? And he's like, sure. So I tested that, the POC, the Cast Mistral Medium, the Cast Mistral Large, the Rudy, everything, and pretty much the helmets are all almost exactly the same for me. Not much difference. The POC was pretty bad, though. It was the worst one by a little bit, but that was because I couldn't tuck my shoulders because it was so big, it was running in my shoulders. So okay. That was...
Let's get specific. When you're talking about bad versus good, what are your measurement parameters here to distinguish?
Well, all I was doing was setting up the trial to where started from the start point. I held the same power for, it was like 4 minutes. And like I had guys there with a timer on each lap. So they're timing each lap. So they could see on my lap when I was accelerated. So, cause I would get down to like, it's about 18.2 seconds per lap average. Once I was up to speed, and then I would do a bunch of laps in a row, and I would hold 330, which is my goal power, which I've done in a half a few times. And then at the end of the trial, I can tell like how much did I actually average. And for pretty much all of them, I was like right at 330. So they were very, very similar. It was consistent. And then later I went into the data and looked further to see like, was it 330 average, but like lower at the beginning, higher at the end. So like, it's not quite as precise as looking at like getting the devices and stuff, but it's going to be close enough to tease out any differences more than like a couple watts. So when I did that, they were all super close. The Cask helmet might have been a little bit better than the Rudy, but the POC was slowest just based off lap times.
Isn't that POC that has that like wave kind of the one we see Magnus riding?
Comes out wide at the ears. the one that Lionel started using when he went down to like apparently saved him a whole ton. So that was pretty fine because then I'm like, well, I'll just wear whatever helmet feels the best then. But also I tested one position. I tested 2 centimeter lower, like just drop the whole thing 2 centimeters. And even that, it was like maybe 0.05 of a second faster per lap. So like maybe 0.2 per kilometer. But it was quite a bit less comfortable. So probably not worth it because that's not a lot of time. Like,
are you doing a multiplier over 40K though when you kind of get these outcomes though? Because that's really what everyone's using as a standard.
Yeah, well, 0.2 per kilometer would be 2 seconds per 10 kilometers. It'll be like 18 seconds in a half Ironman. Okay. But it's 2 centimeters lower. It's not as comfortable. It's clearly, it was noticeably less comfortable. So probably I'm not going to actually hold the position as well. So I think it would actually be slower because in the end, I'll be like, my back will be screwed and I'll be losing. I could lose power even. So that one seems not worth it. But the other one I tested was same height, but tilt the bars down at a lower angle. Instead of like 17 degrees, I put them down to like 10. And that one looks like it was actually a tiny bit quicker. So that was one thing that out of all the tests, that was the only one that was like noticeable difference. So I might be doing that for the old race, which was freaking hectic because it was hard to change that tilt angle. You have those fast TT bars and you have to take off the bottle holder, like take off a whole bunch of stuff. And then it wasn't lined up right. And I was fiddling with it. And I like barely got the trial in the time I had for the rental. So
yeah, the fast TT bars are epic comfortable. And once you get them set, they're great. But fine tuning them, if you had to make a lot of changes, I would even be like, I took off 5 bolts just so I can adjust one thing. Like, it's kind of a lot.
Yeah, it can be a bit tough, but that's the same with any setup. And they seem pretty legit. I like them a lot.
They're just comfy. So
they're comfy. They have a lot of options for getting hydration set up on them and just everything you're probably going to need. So I think they're good. The adjustable angle risers is what Nick and I have, so we can figure out what kind of angle are you running on them.
Well, so here's what, last year I put those adjustable angle risers and I was like on like 18 degrees, but even when we had a good old Wayne on, the kind of creator of it, he said between like 14 and 17 degrees was like pretty much optimal wind tunnel data to get quickness.
Yeah.
So what I ended up doing was on the Ventum mono riser, because I just felt weird having the mono riser slammed with that plate and then the two individual risers with the fast TT mounts. So I just got rid of all the angles and I direct mounted the bars with the extension onto the mono riser and I just brought that up. And so I think I'm at like 13 or 14 ish degrees. And the hard part is like the fast TT bars is like, they do have their own little angle, but at the wrist, they kind of level out. So even if you do feel like you have a good angle, it levels out at the wrist. So it kind of is an interesting little conundrum, but that's really where I ended up landing after everything. And it feels more than anything comfortable.
Yeah. I think I'll stick with them at 10 degrees for now and roll with it, but they're definitely better than like a separate. There's anything I've learned about these new aero bar setups is that like having the pad and the extension all be one piece is critical. It's kind of weird even that they never did that over the years. Like they were like, we need a pad and then we need a handle. And like that just never really made sense. That's just how they started it. So they just kept doing it that way.
Yeah. They're all still good though. Garrett, have you adjusted anything before? Are you still doing Ironman Texas?
Oh, that's a story.
Because I knew you were like hot and cold, cold and hot, lukewarm and warm. Well, and now where are you?
So I had a bit of a calf issue before training camp going in. I did a 2-week training camp in Florida. And going in, I took like 10 days off of running because I had a gastroc strain. And then so I didn't register for the race then because I was like, well, fuck, I don't know. I don't want to drop $1,300 now if I – you know, don't know if I'm going to do the full Ironman racing this year. And then did training camp. And so on my way home from training camp, I'm like, okay, had a great training camp, trained 75 hours in two, just like whatever it was, 15 days or something, and did an Olympic try. I was like, great. All right, we'll race.
Did you actually train 75 hours in 15 days?
Yeah.
Crap.
That's like 35 hours a week.
Yeah, I know. The camp day, the long ride on the camp day, we biked 200K.
Holy.
Yeah.
All right.
There's that.
Yeah, so I go to register, and it's still open online, and they're like, oh, no, we're at capacity. Sorry.
Oh.
So, yeah, so I missed it by like I was probably like a couple spots. I asked if they're doing a wait list, and they said, nope, we've already taken into account regular attrition rates. So, yeah, they closed registration 4 weeks early for that race.
Early, so, or early
before the deadline, before the written deadline down there.
Dude, I'm lucky I got into Oceanside because I registered. Yeah. Maybe they just save me a spot or something, because I only registered like 3 days before the closing.
So
save you a spot.
I think, yeah, I think like, so like if Lionel was like, oh, I want to do Ironman Texas, they would obviously let him do it, right? But it's, yeah, that's just kind of how it is. So anyways, yeah, they said basically, so I went to look at races, and I don't know, there's a few options, but I'm feeling fit and I want to race. But I got to get this rate, the racing done by like the end of April, because I got my final board exams in May. So I got to find something.
Geelong, or no, Challenge Taiwan. That's what we're going for, huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get into. Like, I can get a direct flight from Chicago to Taiwan.
So, we'll get you in there, man. Don't worry. We got the connections.
Yeah, see, I appreciate it, Nick.
Talk to Cody. He's gone there twice. You do end up going. Be like, how do I survive in this place? Will everybody be taking people will be taking pictures of you left, right, instead of like, oh, look at this guy, he's giant.
Like, this guy's Andre the Giant. Oh, Ellie Salthouse won Geelong, by the way. Just check the results. 70.3.
There we go.
Good job, Ellie. She's a pal. No, well, Garrick, we hope you get into Taiwan. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, if not, I think I can get into St. Anthony's, but I'm going to get absolutely massacred if I go race St. Anthony's, because I'll end up running like 36 minutes off of Ironman training.
It's an ITU course these days.
Yeah.
It's that St. Anthony's is what, the last paid Olympic distance race in the United States?
Is there even, yeah, like, who's doing it? There's Doobie. Is he doing it?
Dubrick? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Dubrick's doing it. Chase McQueen's doing it. But I can't divulge too much of what I know.
Well, Dubrick's doing like Oceanside, St. George, St. Anthony's.
It's St. Anthony's before St. George, isn't it?
St. Anthony's, yeah. St. George. And then he's going with me to Challenge Championship. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we got to stop him racing before St. George.
Yeah.
but, yeah. So, at the end of camp, actually, this is a hilarious story. At the end of camp, I did the Great Claremont Triathlon.
Ooh.
And it was like I didn't post about it. It was miserable, and it was a horrible experience. I was so tired. I came out of the water a minute and a half down from like the local pro there, Sam Hurdle. And I biked like I ended up biking. It was so hard. I was so tired. I biked 311 watts for an Olympic, which is like less than I do in a half. But right at the start, there's like a hill that you climb. Nick, you've done it, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah,
and that's later. There's like that. Moved it. It's later in the season normally.
Yeah. Well, it was later before for COVID, but now it's back to
fair
early season. But I went to stand up on the first hill to, like, you know, get up over the hill, and I just had absolutely nothing. And I was like, this is going to be the most miserable thing ever. Yeah.
Did you get passed by the girls?
No, nobody passed me, thankfully. I moved into second, but I didn't make up any time on Sam. And then on the start of the run, of course, we're both like, he was just leaving transition and I was coming in. And of course, we both put socks on, which is really funny for an Olympic, because we're both long horse guys. But then I thought I ran so hard. I like opened and just like chilled. And then I caught him and I thought I'd pass him. So like, great, I'll just freaking jog in. And I hit the turnaround and he was right behind me. And I was like, okay, now I have to run as hard as I can. I thought I sprinted for that whole 5K, like as hard as I could. I ended up running 18 minutes. It was so
Well,
bad.
did you still win?
But yeah, I held on to the win. But
Oh, there you go. You did it
it
perfectly then.
was, oh, it was brutal. I don't recommend doing that at the end of a training camp. I think we trained like, what, the not the day before. James only gave me 3 hours of training the day before, but the day before that was like I had a 2 hour run and stuff, so it
What do you
was
mean? What do
brutal.
you mean casually? James only gave me 3 hours before a triathlon race the day before. That's not normal.
Yeah, but
No,
it was a
but
training camp.
yeah, it was a
Jeez.
training camp. James like goes nuts for training camps.
Yeah, this is why I don't do
Wait
training camps anymore.
until you're 37 years old and you're at your prime of your existence and the golden years behind you, and you're like, those boys, what are they doing with their lives? All
I
this.
think the golden years are
Oh
behind
yeah,
me.
trained 80 hours in 2 weeks and just decided to race at the end of it because I'm a David Goggins.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick, though. It looks like you
Oh.
had the best Florida camp ever. I heard the
Yeah,
weather was really
dude.
good.
Yeah, the weather was great, and I wouldn't say it's. I don't know if we can go back there. The traffic's getting like crazy.
Thank you for
It's getting
saying
real.
so.
So
I
bad.
knew this freaking already. This is why I was like, I'm not freaking going, boys.
Well, I knew that too, but I was able to get 2 weeks off work. So I went down and trained before camp. And I was in Claremont, which is like still good. Like it's still passable. It's nice. Like we stayed in downtown Claremont. Downtown Claremont's beautiful. NTC is still great, but it is a ghost town at the NTC now. Like it's
Really?
nothing like it used to be. Yeah.
There's not even a lot of
Pretty.
old people training there.
Not really. Like it's not like it used to be. You'd go there and it was like, oh, who am I swimming with today? Jared Schumacher, freaking, I don't know. There are tons of people there. Sarah Haskins, like all those guys were there before.
I think it's just because riding there is treacherous. Like it's not like 10 years ago when I even lived there and trained there, you could go off Sugarloaf, Buck Hill Loop, you could do all that stuff and you wouldn't get hassled with it. And the last couple of years I was there, it's legit sketch.
Yeah.
You get messed
It
with by the
was,
locals.
yeah.
You know
Van
where the
Fleet's traffic's the best though that I've noticed is Watopia.
Yeah.
Yes, I did notice that.
Even
Did they pass you
velocity.
on Zwift level, Garrett? Because you went to training camp, and you didn't ride outside at all. Inside at all.
Yeah, I think I just hit 83 yesterday.
Oh yeah, I freaking
God.
sailed past you. But I was looking at your Zwift totals, and you've ridden like so many more hours than me on Zwift. How is that possible?
Has to be Zwift
It's because,
races and workouts.
yeah, I always just climb. Like I always pick because I always do my easy riding, and I'm like, I don't want to just go around out and back loop.
You want to get
So
fake,
I
your
like pick the
fake
number of
elevation.
kilometers. Your total number of kilometers and everything was like way more than me. It's like you've
Oh, it
spent
was
just a
more.
lot more time on Zwift, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was less. Oh, I don't know then. I don't know. Maybe they just, because you're Jackson Laundrie, they just like, oh, he needs to get up to 100. He needs to be with Lionel Sanders.
Yeah. So if you're
Sorry.
listening to this, anybody from Zwift, sponsor me. I freaking do all my shit on Zwift all the time.
They don't
Nick,
respond
what were
to
you saying?
emails. Sad story. I've been on Zwift probably longer than both of you, and still like 60 for 59, I think.
Well, we're gonna get the Zwift totals up right now and tell each other, tell you where everybody's at because everybody wants to know. Okay.
Well, it's not that impressive, unfortunately. But we did start a new, I think it's better than Zwift. When we start to talk about it, that velocity platform, we're starting to work on RTS. You got to try it out one day. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, Nick, what
I gotta go
is
work out with Nick.
velocity?
Well, Jackson, you just go ahead and let us know the stats whenever you're ready. But on the meantime, velocity is a online like Peloton for people who actually ride a lot more seriously than Peloton athletes, I think. Not that Peloton is crap, but let's say you've got your own trainer, you've got your own indoor situation, it's set up for you. You want to have your coach who's across the country ride with you and lead a class and give you ranges without the erg mode, without just mindlessly riding. You can ride with video to video, chat to chat in a group setting. And it's pretty sick. Like, and you can really learn a lot as a cyclist. So that's why we're doing velocity with our indoor all coaching. What do you got, Jack?
Going velocity. Okay. So Nick is level 59 and he's ridden for a total of, I have it right here in my brain. Drum roll, please.
Terrible drum roll.
How does iPhone work? Does anybody know?
There's an arrow.
What's an iPhone? There we go. Okay. Nick has ridden for a total of 36 days. I'm level 86, and I've ridden a total of 50 days, 22 hours.
It's a lot.
Garrick is level 83, but he's ridden for 63 days, 9 hours.
Hey, you know what it is? It's because I had it maxed out, right? And so
they didn't retroactively give you any points?
No, the points just double as you ride until a certain point. So that's probably why.
Yeah, but they didn't do that with this update, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, you get fast tracked.
That's blasphemy.
What I'm asking is, how have you ridden 13 days longer on Zwift than me? Like, when did you ride someone Zwift? Like, because I've been riding it year-round for, like, 3 years now. And before that, I was riding it every winter for, like, 5 years.
Oh, I just – the last 13 days I've been riding nonstop. I actually just got off 15 minutes before
this. You just set up a drill to, like, spin your crank at, like, 1 watt. Yeah.
That's
– I've been doing almost, like, exclusively indoor hard riding since 2020.
Yeah. Well, you got ahead of me. Well done. But anyways, I'm going to be the first one to level 100, and it's going to look cool. And hopefully it's a cool jersey for level 100.
They need to give you like a whole bike or like some special, like it should be like a big wheel. Like that's only for 100.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
That's awesome. My goal right now for Zwift is to own every bike and every wheel set.
That'd be cool. You need to actually put one on. You're like, what are the good ones again? I can't remember.
I know. Sets.
The Buffalo.
Yeah. So triathlon related stuff. We got a race coming up. Oceanside.
You know what sucks about that is I thought it was this weekend, earlier this week. I was like, all right, we gotta get ready. It's race week, no big deal. Just gonna start.
What the hell is wrong?
I don't know. My brain was a week off. So I got
2 weeks off, dude. It was still 2 weeks from now.
Oh yeah, that's what I did. I thought it was this next weekend, but it's 2 weeks. I was like, all right, I got some time in me now. I can rest. God. So it happens when you get it of elderly status. You just forget things. Birthdays, kids' names, stuff like that. Okay, so Oceanside's coming up. We got 6 of us racing, which is going to be stellar. Did Leslie get into Texas? I don't know. Did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she did, yeah.
Garrick's going to be racing something. He might be doing his own race. Hopefully challenge Taiwan.
I'm going to do a Zwift triathlon now just to beat Jack.
There we go.
But Garrick, isn't it really freaking hot in Taiwan?
No, yes. It's muggy.
Well, that's worse.
So Robbie Decker did what? 70.3 Davos last year or whatever. And I think that's in that region. And, I said it was the hottest thing he'd ever been on the planet.
I've done extensive research on the temperature. It's gonna be fine. But all my easy riding on the trainer has been done with no fan, and like, so I think I'm ready.
You got to do it bathroom style with hot water and a space heater. That's ride easy in there.
When is the race supposed to be?
April 27th.
So you know the average high temperature is to 26 Celsius.
It's 81 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, oops. God. I just turned music on in my headphones. I didn't know I could do that. I'm listening to you, and then I just put the weekend on. It was epic.
Yeah. But it's not the ambient temperature, Jack. It's the humidity that's the issue.
It's the wet bulb globe temperature, WBGT. That they get it wet and they spin it around, and that tells you how really miserable it is.
But wow. Nick, yeah, your heat protocol is that's exactly what we usually do when we're getting ready.
I don't know if it's mine. I saw Eric Lagerstrom do it, so it's probably his.
What is it? You gotta say it.
You just go in, you put your feedback trainer in the bathroom, you turn the hot water on as hot as it gets for about as long as it takes for you to reach 80% humidity with the humidity and temperature monitor, and then you put a space heater in there to make sure the temperature's up, and you just ride easy as long as you can before you die.
Yeah, I've done this before. I lost 4 liters in an hour while
drinking. I used to do it. My mom would get so mad. She'd be like, the walls are all wet. What are you
doing? I know. Everything starts rusting. You're like, oh shit, that's a bad idea. But it made literally zero impact on how hot it felt during the race. I was like, oh, this still sucks real bad. I don't think it matters.
I don't know. I did that to get ready for a race in Dominican Republic, and I did no hard riding. James just had me do heat prep 3 days a week or three rides a week. And I biked like shit, and the race was fucking still hot.
Yeah.
Well, my roommate just did Campeche, and it was like 35 Celsius before the Humidex, like was the temperature. Because they start you at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And he did sauna every freaking day. He was like doing everything he could, but he was just like, yeah, it was just survival from the beginning of the bike. Like that's how it felt. And it was like he ran like just under 5 minutes per K. And he was like, all his training for his tempo stuff, he's like 3:45. He's like, you just can't even do anything. You're just freaking surviving.
I think it's a lot of like, I don't know what about heat training in terms of like your mental prep versus your body's ability versus like physiological barriers that you just can't ignore. Like there's something to just being born and living in a hot climate at all times, which I think gives you the biggest leg up. And you can never get close to that. Like, Thomas Hernandez Rodriguez, like that dude, no matter what, doesn't get phased except for that one time. Crushes.
Well, actually, he ran the slowest I've ever seen him run. He ran 1:19.
At Cabo, he also like had a tough day, but he was throwing up, but still sent it pretty good.
Well, he was sick. Cabo wasn't even that hot, but this was like,
oh my gosh.
He ran 1:19. One other dude ran like 1:22. A couple dudes were like high 120s, and everybody else was like DNF or like 130s or 140s for the run.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
And you're running in that like enclosed fortress city sometimes.
Oh yeah. Great that place.
That was the last race we did before COVID, that 2020.
Yeah. But that year wasn't as hot. I don't know.
I threw it.
Anyways, we got a season coming up. We've got some crazy stuff going on with PTO and Ironman series. Our PTO series, you got to be a member in good standing with your national federation, and they have to nominate you. So that's kind of the end of things as we knew it, as being our own, masters of our own destiny, as we had it for so many years in long course. So we'll see how that goes. But I got to message Shycan and ask real nice, and hopefully they can start putting me on the old wait list there for the PTO. What is it? PTO Alcatraz, are they calling it, or PTO California?
T100.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in a bit of a conundrum with everything that's happening right now with the sport and the money aspect and what's really happening. From the surface, it all seems and sounds pretty good. Like, yeah, the sport's getting a boost and people are paying attention, but the back end logistics of everything, the lack of transparency, the information coming out randomly and as it's convenient and as we figure it out, like I'm really a little bit struggling with this kind of like splinter. Like you've got T100, which is maintaining their own ranking system, which prioritizes their stuff, now part of ITU in a lot of ways, especially the kits. So like if you get part of T100, you got to have a legit kit that's already ready, even if you just get in as a wild card. And the wild card selection is now just been released after T100 Miami. So that was a bit interesting to understand that. And now the Ironman Pro Series, which seems more sustainable, has a more reputable, proven brand behind it, pays really top 10 heavy, And then everyone else gets like a couple bucks just to say like, yeah, hey, thanks a lot. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with T100, you know, 30 something million dollars in expenses and prize pools and contracts and how to put on a race. Like, is it sustainable? I'm scared to say it's probably not, because I don't think broadcast rights of viewership are there in the US specifically. And then Ironman, it's like, well, you're paying the top 10 pretty well, but you're not help offsetting. I mean, I don't know. Do you know if any of the Ironman Pro Series candidates are getting, you know, like the high end people to say, hey, we're going to participate, we're going to give you 50 grand or anything like that?
I don't believe there's any appearance fees for Ironman, which is interesting because Ironman and PTO are essentially taking exact opposite approaches. So that'll really show how the series play out, or that'll really show like if that affects who shows up and how well received the series is and whatnot. But I really like the way Ironman's doing it more. I think it's unfortunate for me, at least personally, that it's three Ironmans. Like if it was two that you had to do, I would actually consider doing two Ironmans this year to try to go for that series. But three is just such a beast of an undertaking, especially for people who aren't established full distance athletes yet. It's just such a risk. It's too much of a risk. So that's tough. But the PTO approach is just kind of, I don't know. It's just, I just don't think we're going to get that exciting of races overall. There's not enough people in the races. People don't give enough of a shit to try to do well. Like, only the few people who are like doing well in the race are going to keep pushing. Like, I think a lot of the people are going to try to save their matches to have like three really good days. And you're already getting a lot of the money's already given out before you even start the race. So it's kind of like just reducing the incentive to really race hard. For the Ironman stuff, it's not the case. And every second counts because time's a component. So like, it's a little bit different, but I just wish the PTO just put it all up as freaking prize money and said, screw it to this whole contract and all that bullshit. Like, put $7 million up in six races. If you put $7 million and you do six races, over $1 million per race or whatever, you do $1 million for five races and $2 million for one race, at the big race at the end of the year, you're going to have the craziest freaking races ever, man. You put 30 people in each of those are going to be epic. Like, Challenge Daytona or Clash Daytona, when it was the PTO championship in 2020, Ooh. Was the craziest race ever to watch, pretty much, for long course. You had like 12 different leaders during the race and everything, and people were just going crazy for it because, like, that was the big race of the year. That's what they need to do, not this like eight watered down races. I don't know. It's a little weird. If I get in, I'm going to race as hard as I can and prove I belong, and most people will, but like, I just think having that few people and the money paid all up out front is not the way to do it. What do
I have a prediction with what's going to happen with T100 series. I think at the end of, because they said they're like, what is it, 5 years they're funded for or something, or 3 years?
I don't even know.
I think at the end of whatever that period is, they're going to have like a reasonable foothold to the point where they're semi-sustainable, but it won't be anywhere near the money that we see now. And what's going to happen is World Triathlon's going to take it over, and it's just going to be like a World Triathlon series race. It'll be their coverage. They'll have the same athletes kind of just traveling, like similar to WTCS, and they might even put them into the same events where they have like a long course race and then a draft legal World Series race. And there'll be just enough money that it's like motivating for people, and they'll have just enough people watching where it's worth the coverage. And a lot of those athletes will get their bonuses based off of like their TV time and stuff like that.
But then the problem with that is like countries are then probably going to muddy it all up. Like federations are really what mess and ruin a lot of what could be good with the WTCS series right now. And I think that is what I hope does not happen with T100.
Yeah. The difference with the T100 is that the federations don't have any incentive to really like
money. Yeah, there's no Olympics
to do anything, right? Because all their money is government funding based off of sending athletes to the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
And this is almost, it almost seems like this would be, if I was working at the Federation, this would almost seem like just kind of like a nuisance or like something I had to do that's kind of just annoying.
Yeah. Well, they even have some short course athletes who are part of the T100. I'm a little confused as to everything about it. It seems like a popularity contest that makes the athletes a little bit more tenuous with their future and their planning. It's not, I mean, unless you're contracted, of course. So I just don't appreciate how it's all been handled from a standpoint of transparency, what this company really relates to for longevity. If, I don't know. I just don't know if I trust the PTO or T100 as much as I really, really want to. And I want to support everything that's triathlon forward. I think I'm just a little skeptical in how they've been handling their operations. And sure, a lot of really good intentioned people can still have a bad outcome when there's not a lot of good narrative. And I see that happen with a lot of major corporations. So that's really what I'm hoping does not happen.
How did it end up that the national federations have to nominate the athletes to get onto the wait list? Like, what happened there? Is that because the PTO partnered with World Triathlon to bring the age group events?
It has to be because they're trying to set a standard that has already been pretty much outlined with another organization that's been working.
Yeah. So World Triathlon is the governing body of triathlon. Even though that's sort of arbitrary, every sport has like a governing body. So like if you look at the NHL, it's the IIHF, or not the NHL, sorry, hockey, it's like IIHF. And then there's national federations below that. So with triathlon, it's World Triathlon. They're the only ones that can like say this is a world championship. So for PTO to have their T100 series have a crown of world champion, they had to go with World Triathlon. And so
like
with
a UCI
that
thing.
Comes exactly, yeah. And with that comes the national bodies, because it's all the bylaws within World Triathlon.
Okay, so this is also a good point to talk about the rules from Ironman now that just came out, which also seem to be very much like more getting in line with World Triathlon standards, right? Like no bottles, no tape, no aero bars that are not manufactured.
The tape pisses me off because it's like, that one really pissed me off because now all the fucking, there's no poor man's aerodynamics.
You gotta buy a 3D printer now.
Yeah, you gotta go out and buy $4,000 fucking aero bars.
No, you don't have to spend $4,000. You just gotta spend more than electrical tape.
Even the fast TT bars aren't bridged together. So like if they on the podcast, the fast TT guy, he's like, yeah, bridged together is always faster, but we don't have them bridged together because of adjustability reasons. And it's like, well, now you can't even tape those bars. And those are like the most reasonably priced super aero bars I found.
Yeah. I was thinking about going to Bisaddle, which is right down the street, and they have their own like engineering because they make all kinds of car stuff. And I was going to be like, all right, just 3D print me something I can bolt onto these fast TT bars to cover up all this space. So maybe we'll have something in the future.
If you can even just design it so it like wraps around and like snaps over the top.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah. I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about using like a pre-pregnated piece of carbon fiber and like molding it to it and then trimming it. And so it wraps around. I've had a few ideas, but we'll see.
Who's impregnating carbon fiber?
That's how you go from the fiber from like the cloth to the hardened.
So you got to impregnate it. Okay.
Technically, carbon fiber doesn't impregnate, but that's a whole nother material science thing. So
that's a whole podcast, guys. We don't want to go there. All right. Well, so rules.
Do you guys think I should do 3 Ironmans this year or what?
I think you should do 2. I think you should do 2 Ironmans and then the World Championship.
And then Kona.
Actually, you should send a message. See if you can get into Texas.
Ooh, that'd be funny.
Oh, but then I'd be so rude if I just don't do it.
Why? Just like see,
but is it even before the deadline?
No, the deadline's April was the actual deadline was like April 2nd or something. You should inquire about it. I just to see, just to make sure that they are letting in like the high ranked athletes.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't do that for
but then
Oceanside.
If I inquire about it and actually get in, I might be like, do I do it? No, I cannot skip St. George, man. That is my fucking race.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
I've already got
there's
your
other
room
options.
Ready.
Yeah,
Nick's already like, well, London, you can't sleep in this room until St. George is over. Jackson needs to be hypoallergenic.
No, no one sleeps in that room, but all the junk that I can't put in the rest of my house is just storage.
Oh, Lucky goes in there for sure.
Oh, yeah, he humps your
here's
pillow.
Here's what you do, Jack. You do Oceanside, and then you do St. George, and then you do Cairns, and then you do Lake Placid, and then you do Kona. And you need one more set. Oh, you got to do Boulder in there somewhere.
And then you write a book about it.
There you go.
But.
Oh, no, it's 270.3s, right? And three Ironmans? Yeah, that's perfect. That's a perfect season right there. You got.
Well, then I
got to
do
70.3
Worlds.
Just. Or you can do, yeah, I know. But or you can do Cairns and then Frankfurt and then Kona. That's probably better.
The problem I have with all of this is like there's not a lot of races anywhere that make it cost efficient at all to participate in this series at all.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I looked into the series. It would cost me like 20 grand to do the whole freaking series.
Yeah. The accommodations, lodging, and travel alone make it not worth it if you're not going to place inside the top 10.
Yeah. So why the fuck is everyone going to Texas?
I don't know.
Texas is one of the cheap ones to get to, though.
For
if you're in North America.
Yeah, true. Well, the Euros are just moving in. We got Joe Skipper coming into the he's been talking all about Oceanside. He's ready to fire, I think, he said. And
Patrick
the boys.
Lange.
The boys that I did my training camp, me and Mark trained with in France there. The rest of the Brits, two of them are doing their first pro race, I believe, at Oceanside. So watch out for those Britty fellas. The guy who won Florida full Ironman for age group. He's one of them.
Jeez.
Dude, that guy is mega, mega fast.
He is pretty ripper. John Thelwell. Shout out to you, buddy.
Nick, how are you feeling for Oceanside?
I don't know. Like, I try not to have an opinion right now because it's like I've always felt pretty okay about most things. And then it's like it is what it is. So I know that I'm doing everything I can to show up as a 37-year-old with the best hopes and dreams one can imagine. But that's all I got. And real quick, I had this thought today. Real quick. And I'm nervous. I'm nervous for our sport on a very big reason because back in the day, there was a lot of crazy things happening with athletes doing crazy things. And it was just like, oh, wow, this is crazy. This is amazing what people can do. And then we found out years and years later, they weren't really doing it on their own. They were having a lot of help. And I feel like we're getting to a point within our sport where we're like, oh, my God, there's like some crazy X, Y, and Z's going on. And I'm worried in 10 years or even 3 or 4 years, we're going to look back and be like, oh, wait, all these things, there were some of them that were a little interesting that we should probably think about differently. I don't know. I'm scared. This is what happens when you get older. You start thinking about all the politics and the future. You guys don't have that problem yet.
It's a 37. Once you're in your mid-37s.
Once you hit 37, you're like, oh, the government's trying to buy up all the housing so that you have to be a renter. You don't own anything. I just know it's conspiracy. They changed the weather and they did cloud seeding in Dubai or the Emirates for that race or whatever. And they're trying to control the weather. It's a real thing.
It's the chemtrails. Nick knows he was in the Air Force.
Yeah. I can't even say anything about it because I'll get assassinated. But all anyways. Right, that was a tangent, I know, but I'm still feeling good about Oceanside, the bottom line.
This whole episode's tangents.
But I'm feeling better about St. George. That is like, for me, like that was like, all right, that's my world championship level race because I'm really, if I do Oceanside and St. George, that sets me up to be in the series of the pro series. But I don't really have any Ironmans that I really want to travel to and do. Like Placid's the only one you can legitimately get to in the U.S. I don't care about Texas. But Chattanooga is a pro race, not part of the series. So maybe I'll do that aside from, you know, going to Roth or whatever.
You're going to do Roth and then Lake Placid?
Well, I wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, Roth is going to happen for sure because I need to Roth it at least once.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say that's those are some quick back-to-back Ironmans for a 37-year-old.
So I'm like agnostic. We just want to race and do the best. That's like I don't have a series I care about. I don't have anything besides I just want to get the best out of my last years in this sport before I turn to dust.
Yeah. When do you think you're going to retire?
I don't know. Whenever I stop really, like I even thought about today, I'm like, do I really want to race this much anymore? I do, because when I'm sitting around and it's like January to March and I haven't raced and I've just been training, I'm like, this starting to chisel at my patience. I'm a little aggro and I do need to race and travel and experience and have fun. So I think there's a fine line. I think I'm going to give myself till at least I'm 42 years old to be like, I've had enough. Or if I just literally show up to races and I'm like, destroyed. All right, go ahead. What are those shoes?
Nick, I think you're going to have the best season of your life. Jack, I have those exact same shoes.
Lace-ups. I think Mark also just bought those shoes. Yep,
he did. Hero Empire.
Yeah.
Yep. Those have been around for a minute.
Yeah.
What's the... Have you raced in them yet, Garrett?
No, I haven't. I got to cut the tongue. And I have the elastic laces in them, but I got to cut the tongue still.
So what do you do to cut the tongue? Because I'm trying to figure out, this tongue is a freaking beast that I think is way overkill.
I haven't actually looked at it, but usually if you can find the thread, you can like trim the thread out and the whole piece will come out. And that way there's no like...
Once you just glue some felt.
I don't know if they're glued together.
Put some felt on the inside of that little bastard.
Well, I just think the tongue makes it too hard to get on.
Yeah,
have it laced where like the top laces aren't even in.
You don't need that fully laced. That shoe, if you put elastic laces on it and you go up and leave the top two holes, you're good. I've raced in that like 5 years ago when those shoes first came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those aren't. This isn't new.
No, this isn't new at all. But those do test the fastest. Though they test faster than the Bond shoes and those like shoes that are dedicated. That are like only supposed to be aero.
Those Velo-Veta shoes, I have a set of those. They're good, but I'm going to race in the Shimano one strappers.
Nothing like a one strapper.
Like to divulge in that into the details of that, or just saying it.
The only reason, I mean, the Velo-Veta shoes are comfortable. I think they still have some work to do before they're like really good. They're just heavy. And for me, the only problem, and I told the designer and the owner, and I was like, when I opened the back of it, like it was so sharp because it was 3D printed or whatever, like the, where it slides in and it maintains it to be really snug. Like I cut my
heel counter.
I cut my thumb twice, just undoing it. In the last couple of weeks, I was like, I can't chance it. Like I sliced my thumb pretty deep and I could file it down and everything, but honestly, I just want to go back to really what I know. And I got rid of Bonts because of that Bont shoe. It has like an offset on it, heel to toe. And I felt like every time I was pushing down, I'd have to really push harder to get my heel down. So I didn't like Bont as much over time.
Mm.
Shimano was the best for me.
Yeah. Jack, did you test those shoes?
No, I literally ordered these cleats like a month ago. And they came in like an hour after we left for the Velodrome. So I didn't want to like.
Oh.
Why'd you get so much float?
But I need float, brah.
I like the blue ones.
I float around all over. I got a pair of blue ones you can have for free because I don't want all those bastards.
They're $18 now. I'll take them. No, they're, right. they're $30 bucks for cleats now.
I'll only charge you $29.
All right.
Just kidding.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, yeah, so we got races, we got some shoes. Jack did velodrome. Garrick's gonna do a race.
Oh, and I did a swim PP.
Oh yeah, freaking Jack.
1743.
Jack set a world record for 1500.
Yeah, world record
1443
for the 1500 meter short course meters. I don't what think anyone's done. I've never seen anyone go faster than that, so I don't think it's
did you do it in a speedo or a race suit?
I did it in a race jammer, the Blue 70 Nero, size 28.
Nero size
28. You got like the you're supposed to do like size 18.
I know. I should have gone with the 26, but I went with the 28, and it was still pretty good for sure.
I mean, but obviously, but
I just split a lane with someone, another guy. He ended up swimming slower than me, so it definitely didn't help me. But it was the end lane too, but it was the wide lane, so I don't think we affected each other much. But and I didn't dive off the blocks; I dove off the edge because we were both in the same lane. So a couple seconds to be had there.
Well, do you want to know the long course world record?
I'm sure it's like 14:30.
Maybe it's 14:31. Oh, short course world record is 14:06.
Dude, these short course guys don't even take a stroke. It's just wall, two strokes, wall, two strokes, wall.
Yeah, I was taking lots of strokes. I was taking about 19 per length.
I'm gonna give her a go.
It's good swimming for me. It's really good. There was only one other year. Was that like 2014 or 15 that we were swimming really fast?
It was Chattanooga.
I think 14 and 15, we were swimming really fast.
We were swimming really fast in training in the pool, but not very fast in races, or I wasn't. You were.
Nick, did you say Chattanooga with the
yes, with the current?
Yeah. No, but know, the one man. Year we did some fast stuff, and I figured I was in about that shape between 1730, 740, 1745. And then since then, I've been freaking slow in the pool, like got slower from then to like 2021, 2020, and kind of plateaued. And then now I finally got it back. So I'm finally able to do 400s like under 5 minutes without it being that hard. And I did a couple in like 447 the other day. So,
and that's short course there.
We just got to get her going in the race, which I think we'll do at Oceanside. So the boys are going to be scared when they see the old slow swimmer, not so slow anymore.
When they see the claw, stroke. Right hand's pretty good. Right hand's good. Left hand gets claw.
No, it's the right hand that gets claw.
Okay. Well, all I know is I'm starting far right because I sight to the left. That's all I care about from here on out.
Well, that freaking run in is about 130 meters, so we'll have to. Everything will be different by the time you hit the water.
Hold on. Let's turn the weekend back on again. Sorry. All right. So I think that pretty much sums up our event podcast. Did we miss anything important?
No. What are we going to title this episode? Everyone listening is already going to know, but.
Yeah. I'm having a drawing a blank.
That's to be the title.
Should be like that.
I'm sure.
That one time we talked about a lot of stuff.
Nick shooting blanks.
Ooh, let's see how many clicks that gets. Put it up there. Nick has a blank. Nick drew a blank. Shot a blank. I don't care. I'm old. It's probably true. I was in the Air Force, military, irradiated all the time. It's fine. One quick couple of plugs before we do end. If you've made it this long, thank you. We still do have a Patreon. Garrick's going to put it in the show notes, and we are actually going to bring someone on to manage that in starting in April. So you're going to get emails, you're going to get deliverables, and you're supporting the team, all these lovely pro athletes, and then future RTSX athletes. So we'll put the Patreon link in there, get Garrick a cup of coffee, get Jackson some new razor blades. Maybe those should be options. And then maybe Garrick can put in the show notes too our RTS bucket hats and this little 3D foam printed hat. I'm going to have all this stuff at Oceanside in the backpack too. So I'll be bringing her around.
Oh, yeah. So if you guys thought the podcast was already professional and well organized, it's going to get even more.
You boy, boy, you just wait.
Then first off, you should redefine what you consider to be well organized.
And I take that personal because I've had to organize it a little bit more than you two buttholes.
Yeah, that's okay. That's our brand. It's disorganized.
Not for long. We're fixing it. All right, let's end.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. Well, so Nick, we mentioned a couple times you're in the Air Force, so thank you for your service, sir. Yep. And the 1500 meter world record is by Sun Yang, who is a mildly confirmed doper at 1431. Long course, short course is 1406 from Florian Welbrock. And boys, until next time, peace.
I'm gonna do that next week.
I got ish to do, flying through the sky in my parachute, dancing on the couch like I'm Tommy Cruise on a one-man mission trying to see it through.